I pray that you're doing well today. I've been looking forward to this time. I ask the Lord to meet us, that His Holy Spirit would touch us, inform us, enlighten us, so that our time can actually advance the kingdom in our lives and in the lives of other people. Well, we're moving closer to Christmas, aren't we? And as we do, my mind, for whatever reason, has been going back to some early Christmases of my own childhood. And I'm not thinking about gifts or celebration as much as I am the people that were around our table on Christmas. You see, we lived right next door to my grandmother, married to my step-grandfather, who hosted in her home my Uncle Fat, who was a desperate alcoholic, my Aunt Verdi, who had been married to a man that was very wealthy, and then they lost absolutely everything in a bad business deal and became destitute and had to live with my grandmother. And then there was my aunt and her daughter, who was my age, living with Grandma because my aunt's husband, Uncle Frank, was now in prison for shooting her. And all of them would come next door and bring food and pies, and we would sit there having our Christmas dinner together. And I've been thinking a lot about those people, especially in light of the story and the message of Christmas. I mean, as I look around my table, those many years ago with my mother and dad, my sister, myself, and the individuals I've just mentioned, one of the things that I recognize is that we were all deeply flawed and deeply broken. And we desperately needed the message of Christmas, which is a message of reconciliation and peace and hope and transformation, to go deep within our lives. And yet, it became more about a great meal with turkey and gravy and mashed potatoes and green beans and pumpkin pie and pecan pie, even in the midst of our, if you will, low blue-collar environment, that was a day for us of celebration. Eventually, we would leave the table and everybody would go into the living room and we'd share whatever presents we received. And a lot of preparation went into that day, but I can't say that it was really a day when our focus was on the wonder of the message of Jesus Christ in His coming, which is what this time of Advent is absolutely all about. Now, as I've shared with you about the characters that were around my Christmas table, I began to think also about the characters that make up the story of Christmas in Scripture. And there are many. We think most of Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, but there are a whole lot more. John the Baptist is part of this story. I'll say more about that in a few minutes. Herod and his hostility toward Christ, an innkeeper and shepherds and magi, and more. And all of them were to some degree flawed, to some degree desperate and in need. And the Christmas message is the very message that held the power to transform their lives. And for those who stepped in, it did change them forever. And those that failed to respond went on in their own brokenness and in their own pain. So what I want to focus on today are really two specific characters that are part of the Christmas narrative. And that is Elizabeth, the cousin of Mary, and her husband, Zechariah. I'm sure you know the story. It comes in Luke chapter 1. It's absolutely integrated into the whole theme of Christmas. And there is this priest, and his name is Zechariah. and he has his opportunity to go and to serve in the temple. And he has a wife, and his wife's name was Elizabeth. And the Bible says that they were both very old, and she was childless. As a matter of fact, in some translations, it would say that she was barren. She was empty. And in this particular society, that would have been seen as a curse from God. And the Bible says that it became Zechariah's turn to go serve as a priest before God. And he goes in, he burns the incense. The worshipers outside are all praying. And while he's there, an angel comes. He's very frightened, the Bible says, startled and gripped by fear is what it reads. But the angel says, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. Your prayers have been heard." And I don't know what particular prayer it was, but it goes on to say, your wife Elizabeth is going to bear you a son. You're going to call him John. He will be a joy and a delight to you. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before he is born. And later it says it is his job to make ready a people prepared for the coming of the Lord. And Zechariah, he just didn't even believe it, so I'm not sure this was his prayer. It was as if that had been put away a long time ago. And he questions him. And because he questioned him, Gabriel says, I stand in the presence of God, and I've been sent here to speak to you and to tell you this good news. And now you're going to be silent, unable to speak until this happens. And so that absolutely took place. He couldn't speak another word. And yet the Bible says here that after a period of time, his wife did become pregnant. And she says this, the Lord has done this for me. He has taken away my disgrace among the peoples. I think there's something about this that is so powerful in terms of the message of Christmas. Here we have one character whose life is empty to some degree, who believes it's all in the past, and any hope she would have had for giving birth to a child is long gone. And then there is a husband who actually doubts the very word that God speaks to him. Flawed people, faithful people, but desperate and to some degree broken. And God begins to do this amazing work. Somehow on that day, a seed is planted. Oh, it's not just the seed of the good news of the gospel, but there's a new life now that's being formed in Elizabeth. And this new life will become John the Baptist, and John the Baptist will grow to prepare the way of Jesus. It doesn't happen overnight. But a life is formed, and a new day begins to dawn. That's right at the beginning of this amazing season of Advent, as we prepare and get closer and closer to Christmas, that for those of us that have these empty places in our lives, or who struggle with doubt, it doesn't mean that the Christmas message passes us by. We're precisely the people that the Christmas message most wants to touch and most wants to impact. And that's where the seed of God's word goes deepest, in the very places where there was once emptiness and where there was once doubt. Again, it isn't that it happens instantaneously. It doesn't come to fruition overnight. But we do know in this case that 9 months later, this child is born. And on the day that he is born and they name him John, Zechariah moves from doubt to delight. and he begins to declare the wonder of God in what God has done for him. There's this passage of scripture when we read about it later on in chapter 1. It's called Zechariah's Song. And that when John was born, he was filled with the Holy Spirit. And he began to speak this song. And at the end of the song, it says this: "The tender mercy of our God, by which the rising sun will come to us from heaven to shine on those living in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the path of peace." That's at the heart of the Christmas message. This is what I'd like to be able to now say and shout to all those people that used to be around the table in our small home. Yes, we're flawed. Yes, there's brokenness. But the sun is coming and it will shine. And it'll push back the darkness. It'll dispel the shadow of death and guide us into a place of peace with God. Now, I don't know what's true of you today, but there may be a place inside of you that you've always had a great hope, but because it never gave birth, you may have set it aside. And maybe there's a place of doubt inside of you, but know this: neither hopelessness or doubt disqualifies us from being at the Christmas table with God. And there is this message of light for us in this time of year. I hope you can see that. That if we respond to this glorious message of the good news of Jesus Christ and his coming into our world, crossing the universe, so that we can be forever embraced in the arms of God, that in that message there is hope for us, even in times of emptiness and doubt, seeds can be planted and new life can spring forth. And that is the glory of the gospel of Christ. That's what Christmas is about. His light is coming. There will be new hope for us. Seeds are planted, and over time they will grow. And when the time is right, the fruit will be right before us, and we'll be able to join in our own song of praise because of the coming of Jesus Christ into our lives. Isn't it such good news that we get to sit at the Christmas table with God, even when we're desperate, even when we're flawed, and receive life in the barren places, hope where there has been doubt, and light that shines forever through the darkness? Oh, it's right that we string Christmas lights in this season, because the light has dawned. And how we give glory to Jesus Christ. Keep anticipating the coming of Christ this Christmas.
Lion knows you are mine. Blinded by love divine, without a sleep, yeah, I will follow, for I am yours, lonely lion. Face to face.
purge my sin, test my faith, so I am yours, only thine.
Raptured by sweet love divine.